of Christmases Long, Long Ago is my new book, arriving for the 2025 Christmas season. Find out what Christmas was like centuries ago. Sneak preview, it was weird, and spooky, and rowdy, kind of gross sometimes. Find it wherever books are sold, in hardcover from Lions Press, and audiobook from Recorded Books. It's Christmas as you've never seen it before, and it makes a great gift. Hey everyone, it's Brian, back again as we enter these final days leading up to Christmas of 2025. This episode arrives on Christmas Eve Eve. Anticipation is high. Last-minute activities are bustling, if not frenzied. Maybe you're departing for somewhere, or people are arriving from out of town. Perhaps you're visiting your friends and neighbors to deliver gifts and tidings of comfort and joy. It's a time for togetherness, movies and music, prepping for a feast, baking, indulging, wrapping gifts, and of course, reminiscing. And to that end, I'm calling one more family gathering for this season where members of the Christmas Past family share some of their favorite Christmas memories. Hearing and sharing your memories has always been one of my favorite parts of doing Christmas Past. Everybody's memories are uniquely their own, and hearing them allows us to experience Christmas briefly through someone else's eyes. We hear about Christmases in other parts of the country and the world, from decades long past, in settings we've never experienced ourselves, or involving traditions we've never known firsthand. So I want to thank everyone who shared a Christmas memory with me this season and every season in the past. Since Christmas Past began, I've been lucky to share nearly 200 of your memories, nearly 200 little glimpses into the many possibilities for experiencing this favorite celebration of ours. And so, let's begin. Now, many children dream of a Christmas where Santa brings a puppy. I remember reading books as a child featuring illustrations of a small, presumably golden retriever puppy under a tree with a red ribbon around its neck. It's an adorable and festive image. And then there's the image that Jennifer in Canada experienced one Christmas many years ago.
When I was around 7 or 8, I clearly remember asking Santa for a puppy. That was my full Christmas list, a puppy. My poor overworked mother was not willing to add puppy to her list of responsibilities, but she thought maybe our family could handle a gerbil. So on Christmas Eve, she ran over to the pet store. The woman at the pet store told her they only had one gerbil left. It was slightly obese and was missing fingers on its left hand. My mom cried out, "I'll take it." On Christmas morning, I ran over to the tree and there, kicking all the shavings out of its cage, was my mangled gerbil. It wasn't a puppy, but I was so excited. I named it Scamper. A week later, I was back at school, excitedly telling all my friends about Scamper. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by the sounds of chirping. I wondered if it was normal to hear birds in the middle of the night when the window was closed, but then I promptly fell back asleep. The next morning, I jumped out of bed to check Scamper's cage. To my horror, there were little worms all over the bottom of the cage. I screamed. My mom came running, took one look at the cage, slapped herself in the forehead, and exclaimed, "Oh my God, Scamper had babies." So Scamper wasn't obese, she was pregnant, and the chirping worms were hairless baby gerbils. And instead of one gerbil, I had 9 gerbils. Scamper was a wonderful mother, and we ended up keeping 2 babies, gave one to the school, and the pet store graciously took back the rest. It was the Christmas that just kept on giving. Years later, I did eventually get my puppy. He was wonderful, and I'm happy to report that he had all his fingers and he did not have babies.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that giving a pet as a Christmas gift is considered a bad idea. Advocacy groups like the ASPCA and Four Paws all warn against it. Now, when I was growing up, gifts from aunts and uncles and neighbors would fill in the space under the tree during the lead up to Christmas. I'm surprised that with 5 of us kids, there wasn't at least one incident where curiosity got the better of one of us, leading to an unwrapped gift. Not so for Robin in New York.
When my kids were, let's see, they had just turned 3 and 5. So my daughter woke up in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve and snuck downstairs without her dad or her brother hearing her. And she unwrapped every single present under the tree. She couldn't read, nor did she care if they were for her or for her brother or for other family members. She opened every single one and then fell asleep under the tree amongst the mess and clutter of paper. And when my son and their dad woke up on Christmas Eve morning and came downstairs, they found her there. I was immediately had my mind racing of how to prevent that. So I came up with an idea to make a wrapping paper wall where I would tape off the doorway going from where the bedrooms are into where the living room and the Christmas tree were. So they loved that tradition and it worked great. And even now, they still ask me to wrap the wall of the doorway going into where our Christmas tree is.
I love that Robin was able to create a little Christmas magic from a bit of mischief. Now, being snowed in and away from home during Christmas is a cliche in many Christmas stories, but of course it really can and does happen. And if it happens to a child, of course the stakes couldn't be higher. Just ask Christopher in Indiana.
As kids, my two younger brothers, my parents, and I would always spend Christmas Eve with my grandparents, my stepfather's parents. And this particular year, we had driven from our house, which is about an hour away. And in the dinner, it started to snow quite heavily. And actually, it's more of a blizzard. My mom deemed it unsafe for us to return home that night. So we stayed the night with my grandparents. But the problem in my brothers and I, in my mind, was that without our stockings, Santa wouldn't know where to find us. We were so worried about this that we took one sock off of each of our feet and put them, hung them on my grandparents' fireplace. It took a while to go to sleep that night in worry and anticipation. But once we woke up, we discovered not only had Santa known where we were and delivered our presents, but each of our stockings that we were so worried about had made the trip as well. Years later, my mother informed me that it was my stepfather who went and got our stockings so that Santa would know where to find us in the middle of a blizzard. But that did not diminish the magical, magical Christmas memory that I have held on to every single time it snows. I am reminded of it.
Speaking of snow and being away from home at Christmas, we have this memory from Jen in Missouri, where a sad and unexpected change of circumstances nevertheless gave way to a magical Christmas experience.
This special Christmas memory comes from just last year, when my family and I were living in central Missouri. My husband worked year-round for a summer camp, and he, our three young daughters, and I lived on-site at the camp. It was our favorite place, and we deeply loved the camp, and had planned to stay there for many more years, potentially until he retired. However, in October of last year, changes were being made in the organization that owns the camp, and unfortunately, that meant my husband was being laid off from his job. This also meant that we needed to move, and if he wanted to stay in the field of work that he loves, we likely would be moving further away, possibly even to another state to find a new camp. So coming into that Christmas season, we were deeply grieving the sudden loss of his job, our community, and our home that we absolutely loved. We were trying to make the most of our last Christmas there, but everything was also tinged with sadness about it being the last, and all the unknowns that the coming months held for our family. So, on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we planned to make our yearly trek to the Christmas tree farm, about an hour north of us. I was excited because the forecast called for snow that morning, and I had always dreamed of walking through the snow-covered trees at the tree farm with our kids to pick out the perfect tree. In central Missouri, you do get some snow, but it's inconsistent and more common to get after the Christmas season, more like January through March. So the morning dawned, and I looked out the window, and there was no snow. We were disappointed, but still determined to have a good time, despite the bittersweetness of the season for us. So we loaded up the minivan, turned on Christmas music, and started out on the drive. For the first half of the drive, it was the usual landscape of bare trees, rocks, and sleeping grass. But as we continued driving, I started doing double takes as we passed what I suspected were, maybe, possibly, little patches of dustings of snow. As we drove further north, the patches became more frequent, which then became a full dusting, which then became a couple of inches of snow. When I tell you there was joy in our van, I mean there was joy. Kids and grown-ups alike were cheering and smiling from ear to ear. We arrived at the tree farm shortly after, and it was the most magical tree farm experience we've ever had. The snow made such a beautiful backdrop as we walked and pulled one of our daughters on the sled until we found the perfect tree, which my husband then cut down. As the tree farm attendants prepared and wrapped our tree for us, we bought a nutcracker in the shop, warmed ourselves around the fire outside, and loaded up for home with hot cocoas in hand. I will never forget what a precious gift that experience felt like in the midst of such a sad and difficult season for our family. A couple of months later, we found a new camp and home to work for and love, and we're all looking forward to how our old Christmas traditions will meld into new ones this year as we experience our first Christmas in our new season of life. I know it's going to be amazing.
I wonder what it's like to experience Christmas at a camp. It sounds pretty magical. And according to the most commonly told version of the story, the whole notion of Christmas in July actually originated at a summer camp in North Carolina in the 1930s. Camps have the Christmas spirit, it would seem. Well, we started with an animal-related memory, and we'll end with one. Christina in Wisconsin shares this memory of a cold winter's night years ago.
In the early 2000s, before I was married, I was often alone on Christmas with family far away. But church services were festive, and I treasured the seasonal gifts of peace and joy. As a family therapist, I worked part-time at an organization called CHAPS, founded by my friend Anne, that offered treatment for mental and behavioral health challenges using horses to facilitate healing. The horses were donated, and I had a special fondness for each one, though Star was my favorite. He always came to greet me when the horses were grazing out in the pasture. One Christmas Eve, I decided to drive out to CHAPS. I knew Anne and her family were in Milwaukee and wouldn't be back until the next day. It was a cold, starlit winter's night as I entered the barn and turned on the lights. The horses stirred in their stalls as I greeted them by name: Rocky, Tally, Apache, Brownie, and Star. I placed the radio I had brought on a stool by a wall plug and turned it on. With the local Christian radio station playing Christmas carols, I got a shovel and wheelbarrow and began the task of cleaning the barn floor, riding ring, and stalls. The barn was warm from the heat of the horses, even though it was cold outside, and of course it smelled of hay and that special barn scent of large animals. The barn cat rubbed against my legs, glad of a friendly presence. It took about an hour with trips outside into the cold to empty the wheelbarrow. A clean barn was the gift I thought I was leaving Anne and her staff, but I was the one who received the gift. Christmas Eve in a stable with the animals, silent night softly playing. Merry Christmas.
Many traditions from Christmases long, long ago involve attending to animals in some way. I love this memory from Christina because it also emphasizes that solitude and contemplation are often overlooked or undervalued as part of the Christmas experience. And I'd like to thank her, along with Jennifer, Robin, Christopher, and Jen, for sharing their Christmas memories with us today. The next time you hear from me, it'll be Christmas Day. Please join me for the 10th annual Christmas in Review episode, where I check in to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and take a look back at the sights, sounds, and news that made Christmas of 2025 what it was. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. You can drop me a line anytime, whether it's the Christmas season or not, and I try to respond to every message I get. I'm at ChristmasPastPodcast@gmail.com or connect with me on your favorite social media platform. And how about spreading a little bit of Christmas cheer by helping more people discover this show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a rating and review. If you do rate and review the podcast, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks any time of year. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.